Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Laurie Walsh. We're kicking off hour two. Here's what's coming up in this next hour. A little bit, we're going to have a panel of some of the most interesting voices in the humanities right now in the state. We've got Steve Sanford, Jean Nicholson, and Patrick Hicks coming in a little while. They're going to sit here with me in the studios at the University of Sioux Falls and really talk about what the humanities are and what they do in the state. We'd love to hear from you about the different intersections you've had with the South Dakota Humanities Council. Send me a text at 956-SDPB.org. And that comes up in a little bit. But first, we're going to start with the Dakota Political Junkies. With us now, Roger Whittle, Managing Editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Roger, welcome.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
We're going to be joined in a little bit by a brand new Dakota political junkie, but Roger, I think we'll start out right there in Watertown until Noel Hamilton be with us. I think we lost Roger. We're just going to work on that phone issue for a minute. Let me tell you a little bit about our new Dakota political junkie. This is a great addition to In the Moment programming. Noel Hamill retired from the Daily Republic in Mitchell after 35 years in the newspaper business. He writes a column for weekly newspapers in the state. You might have already heard of him, and he also served in the state legislature and on the State Board of Education. That's Noel Hamill, and he'll join us in a little bit. Right now, I think we have Roger back. Roger?
I'm here.
Awesome. Let's start with right there in Watertown. And U.S. Representative Kristi Noem came home to the state and the room was packed. Is that right?
It really was. It was held in a community room at the police department, and the capacity of the room is listed at 50. And if that's true, then my guess would be there were well over 80 people there.
Really?
They were packed like sardines, people standing out in the entryway. It was quite a turnout. She said it was the biggest turnout she's ever had at a town hall in Watertown.
Really? So what was the mood of the people who came out?
Well, apparently they were braced for a bad time. Apparently on some websites there were some people saying they were going to make some noise and do some protesting. A few people had protest signs that said, "You represent all people," or "Ensure my grandmother," or things like that. But the event was moderated by Reed Holine, who is a former state senator and the current national Republican committee man from South Dakota, and he's a Watertown native. And he made it clear from the beginning that it was going to be a good discussion. There was going to be no outbursts or anything, and he kept a pretty tight control on things. So it went very well. And of course, Representative Noem has a way of being very calming, and she did a great job, answered all the questions, diffused the situation nicely. So it turned out to be a very productive and very informational hour.
All right. So what were some of those top conversations? Healthcare or flight service? Where do you want to start?
flight service came up first, but it was healthcare that definitely dominated the discussion for the most part. She assured everybody that they weren't going to be losing their insurance anytime soon. She outlined what the Republicans want to do and did a good job of it, better than I had read anywhere, in fact. Mm-hmm. She said what they hope to do is get a plan in place and then let the market respond to those changes before they actually enact everything. She pointed out that at one time South Dakota had 17 companies that provided health insurance, and now we're down to two, and blamed that on all the government regulations that are involved. And she said that things will be the same for everybody for a few years while the market has a chance to develop and respond to these changes that they're making. And
Roger, do you have an idea what that means for my mind that says, what exactly does it mean the market will adjust? Do you have a concept of that?
Well, she's a little bit.
Yeah, we'll dig into it more, but I'm just,
Yeah, Representative Noem and Republicans in general will tell you that government regulation is a killer for business. And apparently they believe in the healthcare industry that there's been so much government regulation now and government was so in control of it that they could not make money doing it, so they just left. And now if we strip away all those government taxes and government regulations that that these insurers will come back and want to start insuring South Dakotans again.
Okay.
That is their plan. I'd say it's just their hope, but I think that's their belief that this is what will happen.
They believe that is how they have structured the American Healthcare Act.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So how did the public respond to that? Were they accepting of that explanation? Did they have...
They seemed really, to be. There were no boos or
right,
hissing
yeah.
going on. And of course, she's just very calm and very straight with everybody. Mm-hmm. Some guy asked if she could guarantee that his health insurance premiums would not go up. And she said, you know, I've learned in my life never to guarantee anything.
But, right,
but,
yeah.
But that is... The plan that that they're putting forth, and of course Kristi Noem is from the area. She lives in Castlewood, which is just 10 miles outside of Watertown. So she's very well known in these parts and very well liked. Unfortunately, many of the crowd were not from Watertown. I would imagine, I would estimate about probably as much as 30% of them were from elsewhere in state. People were asking questions. They had to stand up and give their name and hometown, and there were people from Sioux Falls, Aberdeen, Huron, Brookings, everywhere in eastern South Dakota. So, and then this event wasn't announced that early. So, I mean, people made last-minute decisions to come to Watertown on a Saturday morning to see her.
Right. So let's speculate a little bit, Roger, and have some fun. Is this a good thing that people come out, that the moderator has control, that the representative is open and is answering those questions? Is this good for our, civil discourse? Or are we looking at, like, some warning signs for hostility growing?
You know, I've moderated enough events, Cracker
yeah.
Barrels here in town. I think people... will get out of control if they're allowed.
Okay.
And that's not everybody, of course, but mm-hmm. yeah, I think if you keep people, tell them the rules and tell that they're going to follow the rules or they will be asked to leave, they will do that. And I think Reed Holing just did an excellent job of that at the town hall meeting.
How do you set the rules, Roger? What kind of rules are important to sort of maintain that atmosphere?
The rules at this meeting were no outbursts. You will ask a question when you were called on. You have 2-minute time. It's good to put a time limit on people. Otherwise, okay. they will ramble on and on. And whenever I'm doing these, I'll specify you must ask a question. You cannot make a statement. If you have a statement, you can stay afterwards and talk to these people. They're very accessible.
Right.
But you can always justify that by saying there's a lot of people here. We have a lot of questions. So we're going to be succinct in our questioning. We just ask a question, listen for the answer, and then we'll move on. And it seems to work very well.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting tangent. Thank you for going down that road with me. Let's bring it back to some of the other questions that people from Watertown and eastern South Dakota were asking Representative Noem.
Well, Watertown, as you know, has had some interesting problems with their air service over the past
right.
year. And we finally have ADI with jet service to Denver twice a day, and it's been great. It's been working fine. Everything seems to be going good. But now the president announced recently last week that he was going to cut essential air service, which is, of course, the federal program that subsidizes air flights to rural areas, which otherwise Watertown would not, in Watertown and I think Aberdeen and Pierre are the three cities in Watertown that have essential air service subsidized flights. There's no way these towns would be serviced by commercial airlines without the federal subsidy. So we were looking once again at not having any air service, and that was a problem for many people. And once again, the congresswoman was very good at diffusing that situation too. She said that every president she's heard of has wanted to cut essential air service. It's a low-hanging fruit that they think they can save money on easily. And she reminded everybody that the president is not the person who makes the budget. That is Congress who does that. And every year the president tries to cut it. Every year the Congress keeps it because they're the ones fighting for their constituents. So,
sure.
And I think people breathed a sigh of relief after that.
All right. Roger, we're going to bring Noel Hamill in right now. I think we have him on the line, our brand new Dakota political junkie. Noel is retired from the Daily Republic in Mitchell after 35 years in the newspaper business. He now writes a column for weekly newspapers in the state. Noel, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
And the phone problems were on our end, not Noel's, so I apologize to you, Noel, and thanks for joining us as we're mid-conversation. I'll let you know what we're up to. Roger and I have been talking about U.S. Representative Kristi Noem's visit to Watertown and some of the questions folks were asking there, and then we were talking about air service to Watertown and some of the reassurances Representative Noem gave folks at the town hall meeting about the Congress being, you know, more involved with the budget now going forward and leaving, you know, trying to sort of relieve some of those concerns. So, Noel, let's jump in with the budget. And President Trump outlined some things and the impact it might have in South Dakota. What do you make of that?
You know, I just have to, I did hear your conversation with Roger. And
great.
I want to, I'm not trying to use my advanced years to any disadvantage in this discussion. But I do recall a generation ago what was not being discussed, which was not a worry, and that is monthly health insurance premiums. Mm. I never heard my parents ever, or my grandparents, talk about health insurance costs.
Yeah.
This is a fairly, I mean, relatively speaking, a fairly recent phenomena. And I guess you could, if you look at history, you could say that it, maybe the rising cost of health care started after 1965 and those amendments were made to the Social Security Act. But that's all academic. I mean, we were faced with escalating health care costs and, you know, people in South Dakota are wondering if a new approach is going to make life a little easier, make the premiums a little more bearable, bring back some companies to the state to be competitive.
Sure.
One of the things I've heard about it is that not everyone is comfortable with the three-phase approach that Paul Ryan and others have been talking about. John Thune was on television this morning and referenced the three-phase approach where you pass the first bill and then you pass at least one, perhaps two additions to it. And I think a lot of people would like to know the devil and the details. They'd like to know what the package is. They'd like actually to have somebody read the bill before it's passed. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there, Lori. At least that's what I'm hearing.
It's changed a lot in a very short period of time. I've been wondering myself, you know, thinking back to just before the Obama administration and the Affordable Care Act, what was it like back then, and have my own story. So this is a swiftly moving target, Roger. Did you sense that in the room with Kristi Noem, that people had a sense of urgency, or did you notice differences between generational questions from the attendees?
No, everybody seemed to be on the same page here because it's been such an issue now in, you know, the last 8 or 9 years. Noel's right. You know, I never thought of that. But when 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you never even thought about your health care. You got it automatically through your employer, and that was it.
Employer, yeah.
And back then, if you were single, you didn't even pay any extra for it. But, I think it's an issue that's come to the forefront in the past 5 or 6 years, and I think it's going to stay there for a while until things improve.
Yeah.
Lori?
Yes, go ahead, Noel.
Well, I was just going to say you asked about the budget impact on South Dakota, and I just wanted to frame the question maybe in a little different way, and that is what is government responsible for? And I know the president has talked about cuts in essential air service and in the farm program and other things that, you know, we're very sensitive to in South Dakota. And you know, we just have to, but we are faced with a $20 trillion debt, and the needs of the country vary so much by geographic location.
Right.
I wonder if a question shouldn't be posed, what is the role of government?
Mm, that's the big picture, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is the federal government, and I promise to keep this short, but I have been thinking about this a lot, in Brookings in the 70s, we were faced with the Essential Air Service controversy. We faced it in the 90s in Mitchell. We lost Essential Air Service because of our proximity to Sioux Falls. What role does the federal government play in providing air service or fire stations or any number of other things back to the states? I mean, I think what's happening is that we're trying to figure out how to pay for all these things without raising taxes, and it's just another wedge in dividing the country. Now, that's a thumbnail. That's a snapshot. And with that, I'll defer to you.
And Roger, I've been reading some, you know, notes from Governor Dennis Dugard of and others in his administration saying, you know, the state understands about the you know, deficit and how budgets work, but there's some feeling some pressure about what the state might have to then provide as well. So it's a financial implication on the state of South Dakota as well.
Right, and I think it's been a theme of everybody lately to reduce the size of the federal government. And when that happens, the dollars that come from the federal government have to come from somewhere else, and it'll be from the people in the state. So,
interesting stuff. We'll continue to watch that roll out. Let's just close with a little bit about you know, the weather is getting nicer and tourists are starting to plan their trips, and we're seeing some impact from Senate Bill 149, which was protection for private adoption agencies. You know, protecting the intent is to protect them from lawsuits if they act on their sincerely held beliefs. Much has been made about the possible impact on gay parents in adopting kids in South Dakota, and now we're seeing some response from other states who the rumblings are starting about maybe not visiting South Dakota. Noel, what do you think of the impact of that legislation and what it actually might be?
Well, I am not sure what the impact will be. I doubt that it will be overly significant. I think San Francisco is on point with that. I don't know that the state of California is going to try to pass a similar bill, but I would like to present a First Amendment possibility on this issue. I mean, the First Amendment does protect freedom of religion, not just freedom of speech and not just we in the press and broadcast. So that if you have an adoption agency that's religious in nature and they have a policy about their adoptions, perhaps they have a policy that they will not adopt children out to, say, unmarried couples or to gay couples or whatever the case is, I think that's a position that should be protected under the First Amendment, and I think that San Francisco's view on that, and it's perfectly within their rights to boycott South Dakota. I mean, everybody, in this political age and political climate, everybody's so short-fused that they boycott at the drop of a hat, so that's perfectly within their right. But I just think that it's, I just think there's two sides to that story, and I don't have any problem with the legislation because of the First Amendment protection that I mentioned.
Roger, any final thoughts or topics that you want to address before we let you go for the week?
Well, I will say that it was snowing earlier today in Watertown, so the San Francisco people probably wouldn't want to visit us anyway.
We got a few weeks before anybody wants to come here and travel across the state.
And I'd also like to say what an honor it was to be the first person to share airtime with Noel Hamill. We had a chance to talk in the green room right before we came up here. We had a nice chat, and I look forward to spending some time with him again.
Same here, Roger.
Noel Hamill,
too, Lori?
I echo that sentiment as well. Noel, thanks so much for being here today. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Roger, thanks as well. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.